Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start your day with the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. I'm Chelsea Messenger, Denton Day filling in for Jenks today. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. So yesterday was the sports equinox. We have plenty of sports going on. We had Monday Night Football, where the Chiefs looked like the Chiefs in the second half of that game, en route to a win over the Commanders. And then we had the second, or a World Series game that was tied for the longest in World Series history, and Freddie Freeman walks it off, now tied for the most walk-offs in World Series history. Is he the most clutch player ever? We'll discuss all that and more coming up next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. So for those of you who do not know, Denton is with us every day. He is our producer, but he also does on-air things, host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM College, and we have him chime in all the time. So Denton, it's good to have you. Glad to have you as the teammate today.
Chelsea, and I can't think of a better time than after the sports equinox, because we were just it was like a fire hose of content yesterday, and we kind of got two World Series games in one.
6 hours? I mean, not that I stayed up and watched it, because it ended mere hours ago, but still, it was just, it had so many things going on in it. Where, you know, as somebody who's trying to line up a show, you're like, okay, this is going to be the story. Max Scherzer probably, like, his final start of his career. But that was one of, like, 10 stories in this game. And, of course, when you have, like, a walk-off winner, and after 6 hours, that becomes the story. It's like, the story is Freddie Freeman. It is no longer what happened in the first 5 innings. So, it's one of those games that packed a big punch. But that's what we've come to expect from this iteration of the World Series. I think a lot of people thought that the Dodgers were just going to cakewalk all over the Blue Jays. It has not been the case.
Yeah, they fight. They fight super hard. And who knows, because of the amount of pitchers that were used, maybe this wasn't the last time that we'll see Max Scherzer starting in a game, because I don't know that they're going to have many options if this starts to go longer in the series. I mean, 19 total pitchers used in that. That's an insane number, including like multiple starters that I think can open up maybe some avenues for a potential very big long shot for MVP that we'll get to. But I came in this morning, because I was like you, I didn't stay up until 3 a.m. I had things to do, like sleep, and I was just watching it. And they literally went 10 innings with no scoring. It was fascinating. It's not like they weren't playing well. They were getting hits. It's crazy to me.
Right. They would be like gunning down people at the plate. You know, you would think, oh, they've got a runner on and no outs, but no dice. But let me ask you this. What do you think is more heartbreaking? For your team to fight and look really good and lose in like extra innings, or have a team that just doesn't look good at all? Because we saw that as well last night from the Commanders, which I guess you could say, well, they looked all right in the first half, but the second half was not much to write home about.
I want the team does not look very good, because the gut punch, you know, especially on a Monday, if it was Friday, whatever, I could sleep in. But like, imagine being a fan of the Toronto Blue Jays right now, and you watched all 6 hours of what took place last night, and now you got to go to work. That alarm is coming at whatever time you wake up. Maybe it's 6:30 a.m. Maybe it's a little earlier. You get 2 hours of sleep. Your team just lost because Freddie Freeman, who was supposed to be playing in Atlanta, who remember when he was crying 2 years ago about, I didn't want to leave here? Well, now he looks really happy in Los Angeles, and he is breaking your heart. And now you got to go do whatever job that you do. Maybe you work in construction. You're tired as hell. You got to put the bootstraps up. I'd much rather, at least when it's over, it's over. We got like a running clock last night. I was home by midnight instead of 1 a.m. that I was the last time my team played on a night game where they lost and fumbled at the end of it. So I'd much rather take a blowout at the end where I'm like, hey, just run this thing over. I need to go home.
I suppose so, because especially when you're talking about like the World Series or, you know, the NFL, a win is a win and a loss is a loss. It doesn't really matter how it happens. It's, you don't get bonus points for going to extra innings. But I will say this, at least you know that your team has a lot of resiliency, because the Blue Jays did fight until the very end, and you have a chance to right your wrongs the very next day. And that is something I kind of like about this show, is that even when we have a really bad day betting, like, it's like, okay, well, you can go out and do better the next day. So you have to have a short memory, ball up top. And very similar to the bets that we made last night, where we're going to have a short memory. So I had the Dodgers on the first five run line. That was a loser because this game was tied at four, as it was for most of the game. Not tied at four, but tied in general. I like the handicap there with Tyler Glasnow possibly out pitching Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer did a fine job. Tyler Glasnow really did not live up to expectations, but not really the story of the game. Jinx goes 1-2, had Marcus Mariota over 25 rush yards as his best bet. That one was a winner, but also had the Commanders plus 11.5. That did not win. And it was a squad play on the Dodgers on the first five run line. So again, a day to make things better. And I'm not looking forward to possibly betting on the NBA, but we do have a World Series game today. So sometimes that is the only good part of losing a bet, is knowing that you can get right back on the horse the next day.
And get back on the horse. Don't be afraid to chase today. You know, what's the worst thing? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Didn't have a great day? Well, let's bounce back, right? That's what this is all for. Especially with some NBA bets. I mean, come on.
Oh, gosh. I'm not going to be chasing with NBA bets. And I will say I'm only 0-1 for the week, so I am not down too bad. Speaking of down bad, that's kind of the case for the Commanders right now. Commanders lose to the Chiefs pretty handily as the Chiefs win it 28-7. This was a tale of two halves. This game was tied at 7. In the first half, Terry McLaurin had a nice toe drag swag touchdown in the first half. You thought the Commanders might make it a game, might cover the spread, but then the Chiefs absolutely dominated in the second half, and they started to execute some of those drives that weren't ending in touchdowns. And it was a big night for Travis Kelce. Here he is with a 10-yard touchdown reception from his bestie, Patrick Mahomes.
Second and 6. Mahomes, end zone, caught by Kelce. Touchdown!
Yeah, Kelce, 6 catches, 99 yards, and that touchdown last night. Almost 11 targets, but had 8. Rashee Rice had 9 targets, 9 catches, and 93 yards. It was surprising to me that the Chiefs still continued to throw the ball, which has been the case for Patrick Mahomes over the course of this season. Went 25 of 34, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 early picks, even though one of them wasn't entirely his fault. So, Denton, let's start with the takeaways for the Chiefs. It feels like the Chiefs are back to being the Chiefs now that the time is in October, and it's not unexpected. Ho-hum.
I mean, they're so good. They showcased last night, Chelsea. They got a third and a fourth gear that I'm not sure that most teams in the NFL currently have, and they just have it at the drop of a dime. And with Rashee Rice back in the lineup, I don't know exactly how teams are going to stop them unless you can get pressure on Mahomes with 4. That's what Philadelphia did in the Super Bowl last year. It worked out beautifully for them. I just don't know how many teams can get pressure with 4. Because if you allow Patrick Mahomes to have any amount of time, they are talented. Like, they are really, really talented. Kelce looked really great last night. As I mentioned, Rashee Rice, him back in the lineup, the way that he can kind of... Backyard football, I feel like it's overused a little bit. But he kind of does have that backyard football element of it, where he kind of understands where Patrick Mahomes is needs to be, or where he needs to be for Patrick Mahomes, and whether it's breaking zone or he can beat you off if it's one-on-one man-on-man coverage. They're just really, really good. They're really, really strong. And defensively, they're not that bad either. I know Washington looked good in the first half, but the second half was the complete opposite. I mean, Mariota had 155 yards in half number one, and he finished with 213. I mean, they just completely put the clamps on Marcus Mariota, and they completely put the clamps on Washington's rushing attack. They only had 60 yards. That's the second best rushing team in the NFL, and it was a complete non-factor in half number two. If you're in the AFC, you got to be a little frightened at the moment, and I can't think of a better time. I mean, they're playing their best football right now, and they get a date with Buffalo this weekend. That's going to be a late Sunday game, not Sunday night, but just late Sunday. That's going to be a head. It always is when those two teams face, and it didn't really matter what the record of the Chiefs was going to be. That was going to be a headbanger regardless. But now that they're playing the way that they are, and the Bills are just, you know, bulldozing everybody in their path right now, this is going to be must-see television. But they are back. We wrote them off entirely too soon. This team is as good as they come, and Mahomes is in his bag.
Right, and championships are never won in September anyway. And here's the difference, I think, in the AFC is that we have some of these teams that are kind of new to the table. Like, you look at the Colts, and you're like, wow, the Colts are so well-rounded. The defense is great. Jonathan Taylor's absolutely rumbling. And they actually have a quarterback now that can, you know, pull the strings, and Daniel Jones. But how much do you trust teams like that in the postseason? Because I think that's where I give the edge to somebody like the Chiefs, where no matter how mediocre they look in the first half of the season, you know they're going to gain steam throughout the regular season. And in the postseason, they're probably going to be even better.
I mean, Mahomes has the world in his hands. Just watching him in the pocket. And I'm glad you mentioned the Colts, because they've been such a fun story this year, because Daniel Jones is on like this crazy redemption arc. There's, you know, some emotional stuff with Ursae passing that I think is kind of uplifting the team. Jonathan Taylor is having an MVP caliber season in the first couple of weeks. But in the playoffs, when they get there, it feels like guys like a Daniel Jones start to press a little bit. Mahomes last night, and now over the past couple of weeks, I know he had two picks, but the picks really, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore made a hell of a play on one of them, and then Travis Kelce, just squeeze it, buddy, and you're catching that football, and it's first down, and you're probably going to go and score. But he is so patient, and he made one of those like classic Mahomes crazy throws, and we're so deep into his career that it's not even crazy anymore. But he's going to his left, and he just kind of flips it with his right. He flips his hip. Like, it's so baseball, it was crazy. But he's so good at that, and it's right on the money. And that's one of those things where, you know, I was sitting in a bar, and the bar was kind of clearing out at that point because we were doing a show on the local side. The bar was kind of clearing out. But he makes that throw, and then you just hear people in the background yelling some expletives, but, like, they're not even mad. It's just like, how do you even stop that? Like, there's nothing. You could play perfect defense, and there's nothing you can do. He's insane. He's insane. I will never get used to how good he is and how patient he is. It's a trait that most quarterbacks in the NFL just don't seem to have. And he's hoarding it. Like, I don't know if he's just stealing it from everybody, but he is hoarding it.
Yeah. It's why Chris Collinsworth goes absolutely crazy every time he sees Patrick Mahomes.
Every time.
It is crazy things. You know, even from people who have seen a ton of football, and it's one of those things for the Commanders is that, okay, you want to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Like, this is the benchmark. And I understand, like, a lot of things are not going well for the Commanders right now when it comes to injuries. It's really tough to measure yourself when you don't have the most important player on your team on the field in Jane Daniels. But still, like, this is a good, you know, measuring stick for your defense to say, okay, it's hard to defend him, but, like, that's what you're going to have to do if you want to win a Super Bowl. Because this is the level of quarterbacks who are routinely in the Super Bowl. Because, you know, I know Jalen Hurts has not been super consistent, but he's had games where you're scratching your head. You're like, how do you defend that? You look at Josh Allen, you're like, oh, my goodness, how does anybody stop that? And nobody does. It's just the Bills' defense is not the best. So for the Commanders, what do you think the takeaways are from last night?
So I don't know what your TikTok feed looks like, but I have had a run, and this is like really poetic. You ever see videos of fighters who get knocked out, but they don't know that they're knocked out? So they try and get up, and they still want to fight, and they think the fight's going on, and they end up like boxing the referee for a little bit before he's like, hey, no, you're done. It's kind of what Washington's season has felt like. The injuries are piling up. the hope is that Jayden Daniels is back next week. But how often does a guy sit exactly 1 week with a hamstring injury? It feels very, very rare. And they're 3-5. Laremy Tunsil left the game, their left tackle. Terry McLaurin left the game after that crazy diving catch that he made. It felt like he was on a pitch count because this was his first game in 5 weeks. They're 3-5 with all of the injuries piling up. And you're just kind of looking around like, the season's not over at 3-5. We've seen some crazy things happen in the NFL season. Teams go on, you know, insane win streaks to close the season. But you do have to look around and ask yourselves, is this going to be salvageable? Because one thing that they could not do last night was get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. And that's been the tale of this entire season. The offense let them down. Only scoring 7 points is unacceptable, even if it is Marcus Mariota. But I just don't know how many players are going to come in and save them. And no one who is going to come in and save them is playing on the defensive side of things. And that's really, really alarming. If you had a future on Washington and you still have a cash out available, you have to start considering that. It's not going to be, I mean, it's pennies on the dollar at this point, but you have to start considering that if you had them on either an NFC East future or a Super Bowl future, anything of that realm.
Ah, bad vibes in D.C., but you're right. It is starting to pile up and it's getting late quick in the NFL. Speaking of getting late, in the World Series, the game just finished hours ago. We'll talk about it next here on the Daily Dope presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Just mere hours after Game 3 of the World Series has ended. Don't know if you saw this last night, but Game 3 where the Dodgers won it 6-5, went 18 innings and lasted 6 hours and 39 minutes. Then we were talking about the things you could do in that time span. You could watch a couple football games. You could make crockpot chili. You could have made a pot roast. I don't know how people just sat here and watched the entire time. I feel like baseball is one of those sports, though, that you put it on the TV and maybe you do some errands around the house. But good Lord, for these people who watch the entirety of this game, a big hat tip, because that is a big deal and that takes a lot of patience.
Yeah, it kind of put this kind of game pushes the errands thing, right? Because what errands are you going to be doing at midnight in your home when you're like, hey, it's the 14th inning. I guess we're just in this for the ride. Chelsea, I compiled a list of activities that I would be okay doing for 6.5 hours. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Sleep. End of list.
Oh.
That's it. Like, I can't eat for 6.5 hours. That's a crazy time. Be like, what? Can you drink? No, I can't drink for 6.5 hours. I don't want to be out in the hot sun. I'm a sprinter, not a marathon guy. Get me to the point I need to get to and then get me home. Like, I can't drink for 6 hours. Like, there's not a lot of things that I want to do for 6 hours. And Toronto Blue Jays fans had to deal with that and then take the L in the process.
See, here's the thing. I will complain about like a 3-hour movie, but I'll sit there and watch like 6 episodes of something. And be like, well, it was episodes. I could have tapped out at any time. So I feel like some people probably have sat there and watched 6 hours of TV. And don't we do this on Sundays? Like, you sit there on the couch and you watch back-to-back football. You probably do it for college football. Because college football, I like pepper in like Like, I'll watch a half of this game. I'll take Blake to the playground. Then we'll watch a half of this game. And I try to have everything done by, like, the nighttime game, because usually that's, like, one of the big ones. Or I'll switch it to where if the 3:30 game is, like, the big one, that's the game that I watch. But I don't sit there consecutively.
No, like, at least for college football, you know, I don't have a child the way that you do, but I have, I'm going to be that person. I apologize. I have a dog, and I walk the dog. You know, like, he'll come up and be like, hey, I want to go outside, and then we will go outside. But you can't really do that at midnight. Or, I mean, you could, but I don't want to walk outside at midnight. At that point, it's cold. I've been sitting. He doesn't want to go outside at midnight. Once it gets past 10 o'clock, he will come and look at us, and then he goes into the room, and then he comes back and be like, hey, are you coming? He wants to go to bed at 10. So, like, I can't do that in a six-hour baseball game. It just... It was fun. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's fun. And anytime you get a classic like this in an 18-inning, it's a showcase. But 6 hours is just a long-ass time.
Well, especially, like, think about the teams who are waiting on pins and needles to see who's going to take the advantage in the World Series. This was a very important game. It was not just a regular August game against the Marlins, you know. So it also had a huge outcome to where you see the percentages on who wins game three. It's like the team that wins game three wins like 70% of the time. I don't know if that's going to be the case because it feels like we've had a very back and forth World Series. And again, last night's game took 18 innings. So then I attempted to like summarize this game. And every time I did it, it just took too long. Because, like, think about it. Think about all the highlights that happened in 6 hours and 39 minutes. So we started off with Max Scherzer, and I thought this was going to be the story of the game because Mad Max making the start for the Blue Jays had, like, a rough regular season. But you know he's a competitor, and you know that he certainly has that fire in him to where if he wants to channel it, maybe he has it. And he did a fine job for the Blue Jays. Went 4 1/3, gave up 5 hits, 3 runs, and struck out 3. So his stuff was hit or miss, but he kept the Blue Jays in the game. In fact, the Blue Jays and the Dodgers were tied after 5 innings. I kind of think the surprise of the first 5 innings was Tyler Glasnow. He was getting hit left and right. 4 2/3 in this one, gave up 4 runs, only 2 of those earned, had 5 strikeouts, and one of those was an Alejandro Kirk 3-run bomb that got Toronto back in this game. Big breath, because we have more to go in this game. Another highlight of this game was the fact that Shohei Ohtani got on base 9 times. 9 times. I need to repeat that. He had 4 hits. He had 2 home runs, and he got walked 5 times. So that in itself is a headline. And then the biggest headline of this game, of course, does not come until the end, and it's Freddie Freeman who walks it off.
Los Angeles. Freeman sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the catch strikes me. Freddie Freeman has ended it. It's a repeat hero with the last word on a Game 3 classic.
What a home run from Freddie Freeman. He walks it off in the 18th inning. And he now has the most walk-off home runs of any player in Major League Baseball history. Remember, he hit like a grand slam to walk it off in the World Series last year, I believe. So at the end of the day, it's the Dodgers that reign supreme. Dave Roberts called it one of the best World Series games of all time, which, of course, when you're the manager of the team that wins, that's how it feels. John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays after the game, said he really respected the fight in his guys. And it felt like they did not give up until the very end. So I know it's going to be a tough turnaround to get your guys, you know, ready and motivated for a next game. But I'll say this, you know, when you play the next day, you don't have time to sulk.
No, and you have less time to sulk because this game, you basically played 2 games in one, which I do think is going to put a lot of pressure on how the two managers handle pitching staffs. Or later today, because nearly 20 pitchers were used in this one, Chelsea. Hundreds of pitches were, like, 600 pitches were thrown in this between the two sides. That's a crazy number. And I just look at the box score, and I don't want to, this is going to make it sound like I'm dunking on Mookie Betts, and I promise I'm not. But the difference between a Shohei Ohtani line and a Mookie Betts line is crazy. Mookie Betts has 8 at-bats. He goes 1 for 8. Ohtani is 4-for-4 with 5 walks and 2 homers. At a certain point, I don't know what you do with him. Because putting him on base, that lineup is so good that you're running the risk of it, although maybe not with Mookie Betts, but with Freddie Freeman. He is unbelievable. He's just so fun to watch, and it felt like every single time he comes up to the plate, something amazing is going to happen, and he was fantastic last night. I liked watching some of the highlights this morning. You know, Freddie Freeman almost ended it in the 13th or 14th inning. Time's a flat circle at this point when you're dealing with 18 innings of baseball, but he almost ended it. And you know, the fans that stuck around for all 6 hours, and they were, you know, credit to the Dodger fans, they were there, right? Like they didn't, not a lot of them left, some of them left because again it was 6 hours, but they also had the benefit of that game starting at 5, so he's only 11. But they stuck around every time there was a pop up that was hit by the Dodgers. It didn't matter if that pop up did not leave the infield. It was, is this it? Oh no, it's not it. And then Freddie Freeman finally gave it to him in 18.
Well, because here's the thing. There were plenty of times where you thought this game was going to end. And somebody would get gunned down at the plate. Somebody would fly out at the warning track. And that's just kind of how it goes. When you have the it's going to end, and it just, you know, the defense is lights out for the most part, or somebody is not fast enough running home, or the throw is just amazing. Like, don't run on Addison Barger. I think that was one of the lessons that the Dodgers learned last night. But I think the takeaway for me is that it just goes to show that how evenly these two teams are matched, despite some of the prices that we see on the Dodgers. Because I think to open the World Series, the Dodgers were, I think, minus that. And it just feels like if there's any team that can slug with the Dodgers, it's the Blue Jays. Like, they scored 5 runs in this game, which doesn't sound impressive for 18 innings. But this is a team that's averaged over 6 runs a game for the entirety of the postseason. So I feel like sometimes, though, when you have these type of games where it feels like a huge momentum swing, this is the signal of, like, the team that's going to win it.
Yeah. I feel very proud of myself.
And
because
I think both these teams are very, really mad.
I feel proud of myself. After game one, Chelsea, I hammered the Dodgers. You know, when they lost that one, I was like, let me get them at a good price for the series. We're putting... I don't bet a lot of money, but I'm putting a max bet on the Dodgers to do it. And now that they're putting this together, but I think you're right in that I do feel like you might see a little bit of an offensive surge from Toronto tonight. I think Vladdy played well. He wasn't awesome at the plate, only 2 of 7, but I think some of the little things that he did in terms of base running last night were really impressive. So I do think there will be a swing in the right direction, maybe for Toronto, pun intended, to get it right. But how great is Freddie Freeman? You had mentioned, is he the most clutch player in, you know, baseball history? I think there is a real argument to be had there. I think most baseball purists will get on here and be like, well, you're forgetting Curly Jones of 19. Like, I don't care about a guy that was playing in 1920 when milk was cents. Like, don't talk to me about anybody that was playing when milk was cost cents. It costs dollars now. I think Freeman is amazing. And he's done it everywhere. He did it in Atlanta. He's doing it in L.A. Now consecutive years in a row. He is fantastic and a just remarkable signing for the Dodgers. But to have him with Shohei Ohtani in the lineup together is a literal cheat code.
Yeah, I don't know if he's the most clutch player of all time, because I think a lot of it's based on the fact that he has had 2 walk-offs in the World Series, which, you know, at the end of the day, makes him very clutch. But there are guys who have more home runs. Like, I don't think that he's in the top 5 of career home runs in the postseason. So maybe that counts for something. But I think overall, you know, Freddie Freeman's just a really good hitter. Like, he seems like the most consistent hitter in the lineup. Like, I remember looking at, like, some of his career numbers, and it's just wild. Like, his numbers kind of mirror what you see from, like, Jose Altuve, where it's just he's hovering around 300 for most of his seasons in the majors. So it's just one of those things where I think he's just a really good hitter that's had a lot of chances in the World Series. He also plays for the Dodgers, who feel like they play in the World Series all the time. I am not saying it's less impressive. I am just saying that there are probably other guys that are worth consideration, including George Springer on the other side for the Blue Jays, who also got hurt last night. So not only did you lose the game in 18 innings, you also have your leadoff guy injured in the 7th inning, and you don't know if he's going to play today. So, double dagger for the Blue Jays last night.
I mean, just brutal. What is the longest game that you've watched as a fan? So this one went, you know, 6.5 hours, which, by the way, it tied a game that took place with the Dodgers and the Red Sox years ago in terms of inning length. But that one went 7+ hours. So Rob Manfred, take a bow for the pitch clock. Now, what's the longest game as a fan that you've watched?
I think I've watched a game that was 15 innings, but Jake was playing in it. My husband was playing it. So it's like, he was my ride home. So, but I do remember in that game, I literally did laps around the stadium to get my steps in. I was like, all right, if I'm going to be here forever, we're going to at least get our steps in. So I would walk around the stadium. I would poke out when I can see, or I'd watch the monitors. But you have to be doing something else. I feel like sitting still for that long, and I will say baseball does a good job of like, hey, we have concession stands. But like, imagine like the last call for beer is usually in the 7th inning. If you like drinking and watching baseball, you had to sit there sober for a long time.
And like at that point, the popcorn's probably burnt, pretzels probably stale because it's been in that little pretzel rotating situation for at that point hours. Was he, and obviously because Jake's a pitcher, like he was done too, right? So like you had seen him play. He had done his job, and you had to sit there for like another 8 innings.
Yeah, and this was like a game in Las Vegas where the ball absolutely flies. So like, I think the final score of the game was like 18-17 or something. Like, it was a miserable game to watch. But let's get back to maybe some of our takeaways here, because I think now we need to discuss, okay, do the Dodgers take this series? Is this the momentum swing that the Dodgers need to claim the World Series? Or do you say, hey, the Blue Jays are a very young team. If there's any team that can bounce back from this, it's the Blue Jays. And listen, their strength was not their pitching to start with anyway. Because I do think this is going to exhaust a lot of the options for the Dodgers as far as their relief corps. But I don't know. Like, maybe this means you play the over moving forward. But guess who's pitching today? Shohei Ohtani, who's fully capable of going 6 shutout innings. So I don't know where to go on this one. But I do think the Blue Jays still have a chance.
Honestly, if you think that the Blue Jays still have a chance, I feel like the best bet there would then to bet Vladdy Jr. to win MVP. Because he is their meal ticket at this point, especially with the injury to George Springer and having some uncertainty as what's going to happen with him the rest of the way. It felt like in the series against Seattle, on every single night, he was hitting a big home run, right? Like, how many Vladdy Jr. highlights did we play? How many times did we flash up that adorable picture of him when he was a youngster, right? He needs to go Superman mode. He needs to put the cape on. He is going to be their leader, and he's going to be their meal ticket if they want to extend this just to 6 games. Because right now it feels like all of the momentum is with Los Angeles, to the fact where, Chelsea, they might win this in 5.
I don't know. I think it's going to be closer than that. But you're right about Vladdy Jr. hitting .414 this postseason. Absolutely bananas numbers. All right, coming up next, it's a Tuesday, and we're playing Take Tuesday. Some of the hottest takes, and we'll put our spin on them. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Please gamble responsibly.
Let's get it going on a Tuesday. Coming up, we play Take Tuesday, where we look at some hot takes via David, and we say our take on each one. Didn't day in for Michael Jenkins today, and I will say this. There is one take floating on the internet that really bothers me. And bear with me, this is not a political take. It might sound like it at first. Okay, so I am from Hendersonville, Tennessee, and there is a swimmer from here that was a very, very good swimmer. Some of you might know her from her other platforms. Her name is Riley Gaines. So, big sigh, because again, I don't want to make this political, but she was the one that finished in fifth place in NCAAs in swimming, and Leah Thomas, the transgender swimmer, beat her. So now she's on this platform about, you know, that whole platform. But here's what bothers me, Denton, is that so many people try to dunk on her for finishing in fifth place at the national championship. Like AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Like, I don't follow politics, but it is very difficult to finish fifth in the nation in anything. Like, think about the five best college football players in college football. All of those guys are very good. So if you're going to dunk on this girl, do it for something else. Don't say she is a bad swimmer.
I thought you were going to throw a chili hot take at me, because I know you made chili yesterday, and apparently I found out that chili over rice is a hot take, because I told you guys that I had chili over rice during the break, and you looked at me like I was an alien.
Well, yeah, because I've never heard of that. Are you doing this on purpose so you don't have to talk about this?
Potentially, but I'm also, because I like went, you know, super overboard, because I did chili on Sunday too, right? So when you said you were making chili, I was like, oh, look at us. It's everyone's making chili. I need Double D to make chili. I need Max to make chili so we can all have like a daily tip, you know, chili cook-off. But I just went like crazy with it yesterday because I knew I wasn't going to eat a ton. So I did chili with rice, with cornbread, with chips. Like it was full gluttony for your boy.
Well, I do think that chili is one of those things where, you know, the accompaniments are what makes it. Like, you can't just have chili by itself. Because here's the question that I asked Jake last night, is that do I have to eat all of it with a chip or a cracker? Or do you just eat it with a spoon? Because it feels a little barren just with a spoon, right?
Yeah, that's why I have to load it with stuff. I'll put some cheese on there. I'm not like a massive sour cream guy, but if I needed some sour cream, I'll put some sour cream in there. But I love the accessories. And that's why, like, rice is the perfect vehicle for something like chili. That's why I'm so stunned that you guys have never done the chili over rice thing. Is that must be, like, such an East Coast thing. I guess you are on the East Coast.
Well, also, remember that I haven't had chili for that long of my life. Like, I didn't grow up eating chili. My mom's from Kansas, and, like, we never had chili in our house. I don't know if it's not a Kansas thing, but it's just not something that I grew up having. So I just started eating chili like 2 years ago. So I have maybe not explored all of the horizons of chili. But for me, I like it with chips and I like it with crackers.
I'd be on YouTube University figuring all kinds of new recipes out for chili. Put some cinnamon in there. I made bacon in there once.
See, here's the thing. I look for the easiest recipe. It's like the one with the least amount of steps is the one that I want to do. When they're like, we're going to make our chili seasoning from scratch, I'm like, no, we're not. I'm going to buy the packet. And that's how I do it.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get to some of these takes. All right, David,
hit us with the takes.
It's time for Take Tuesday. Are these takes hot?
So hot.
So hot.
Or not?
You can't handle the truth.
All right, since the conversation has been chili-based for a majority of the morning, first take is chili is one of the most overrated game day foods of all time.
I feel like I haven't had it for long enough to call it overrated. Like, here's the thing. I don't even think of it as a game day food. Like, I think of it as, like, a cold weather food. But when I think of game day foods, I think of wings. I think of, you know, maybe little sandwiches. I think of barbecue. I think of chips and finger food. And I think of beer. So, like, I don't even think of it as a game day food. So how can it be overrated?
First of all, how dare you? I mean, this is just how the audacity of you to say something as criminal as this. You know what the most overrated game day? If I'm going to enjoy some food and some football or basketball or baseball, whatever, around people, right? I want it to be made with love and care. And chili is made with love and care. It's not overrated. You know what's overrated? This is going to go, I'm going to go scorched earth. Pizza is overrated. If it's a potluck, don't bring no pizza. I want love. I want you to make the wings. I want you to, if it's the beer, I want it to be a good beer. Pizza is overrated, not chili. Mm-mm.
Can I disagree here? Like, I know we're supposed to go on to the next one, but like, if we're talking about game day foods, it is so easy to carry a slice of pizza around with you while you're walking. Because that's the thing for me. If we're talking about game day, it needs to be portable. And pizza, I feel like, is the perfect thing for that.
Well, then you're getting crumbs on the floor. Like, I want love, Chelsea. If I'm hanging out with people nowadays, I have to like you. Like, I'm so proud of myself that I've graduated past hanging out with people that I don't like. So I have to like you. You gotta be putting effort into the food here. I don't just want your money. If I just wanted your money, you could just give me your money. I don't need that. Put effort into the food. You could do that with chili, with wings. I mean, God forbid if someone brings your boy some brisket for a game day, I'll be over the moon here. I need it to be made with love and care.
Ah, high standards.
Very high standards.
All right, David.
All right. Let's get to this next one. I'll start with Denton here. The Ravens are and should be the favorite to win the AFC North, even though they are at 2-5. BetMGM has them right now as the favorite at -125.
I don't agree with this. You know, I'm still very confused with what's going on with Lamar Jackson and kind of the happenings that took place this week. Very, very weird. And something that I do think Roger Goodell needs to be very upfront about. Them saying that Lamar Jackson was a full participant in practice to then turn around and say, actually, no, he wasn't, and then have him not play is very, very weird. There's a lot, and it came in a bad week, too, with the stuff that went on in the NBA and all of the how the injury knowledge of that played a big factor in the gambling. I didn't like what Baltimore did there. I think there's some bad juju surrounding the Ravens right now. They just happen to play a team in Chicago where Caleb Williams is very much hit or miss. I still think that there's an avenue for Pittsburgh, and as crazy as it sounds because they lost to the Jets this weekend, I do think there is an avenue if they can keep, if Joe Flacco can keep Cincinnati afloat just long enough for Joe Burrow to come in and save the day in the final 4 weeks of the season.
Well, speaking of keeping the season afloat, I feel like Tyler Huntley's doing a good job for the Ravens. Like, if there's anybody who's going to play backup quarterback, like, Tyler Huntley knows the system, and we saw that this past week against the Bears. But here's the thing. I think that this price is based on the Ravens' schedule, because you look at the schedule, and there's a lot of winnable games. So they have the Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals, Steelers twice, Bengals again. So the only two really tough games left on the schedule, December 21st, where they host the Patriots, and then they go on the road to Lambeau. Those are the only two games that are just like, maybe they don't win those games. But they're later in the season, so if Lamar Jackson is back, those games, could be winnable. So it just feels like this is based on the schedule. But again, if the price is -125, that is not a bet that I would personally be making, but I understand the logic behind it.
All right. I'm coming right back to you, Chelsea, here. Shohei Ohtani will continue his iconic performances tonight in Game 4 of the World Series.
I'm going to say true or whatever, qualifier you want to say here, just because, number one, he's pitching, so he's going to have plenty of opportunities to spin a gem here. And also, he got on base 9 times last night. 9 times. I understand the game lasted 18 innings, but it's gotten to the point where you almost expect Shohei Ohtani to be great, and it's almost shocking when he's not. So you were expecting these wild things where he's hitting 3 home runs and he's punching out 10, and again, he's pitching tonight, so it would not shock me if he's great in this game. It would shock me if he was bad.
If he's great in this game, wrap it up. Wrap it up. Because you're not getting out of Game 5. If he gives us what he gave us the last time we saw him, 6 innings, even if it's not 6 innings, if it's 5 innings, scoreless, and then he hits another home run, wrap this thing up. Like, thank you for coming, Toronto. We appreciate it. But this is the best player on the planet, and he's doing insane things.
Mm-hmm. All right,
I feel like it's a tight series. All right, go ahead.
No. All right, real quick. Let's hit college football. Neither Nick Saban nor Urban Meyer will decide to come back to coaching next season in college football.
No, that's not hot. They're not coming back. Nick Saban is like desperately. First of all, 2024's newest media superstar, according to the Emmys. Big career ahead of him for Nick Saban. He's not coming back. No old dude, respectfully, no old man wants to walk back into what's happening in college football right now. I love the sport to death, but there's so many moving parts. And he has money. Nick Saban has money. I don't know that there's a dollar amount in his 70s that is going to get him off of, you know, spending time with his wife on a lake and literally just watching football for fun. And then Urban Meyer, I mean, who cares about Urban Meyer? Yuck.
I think especially when your legacy is on the line, because you know who Nick Saban is really good friends with? Bill Belichick. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the legacy slander that we've seen that people have been slinging at Bill Belichick, but it just feels like the risk is not worth the reward. Like, why would you go back to college football when college football is absolute chaos? The NIL stuff is crazy. And you'd have to go to a different school. Like, I don't think Alabama, she's like, hey, Kalen DeBoer, see ya. Nick Saban's coming back. Because I think the rumor on this one is Nick Saban going to go to LSU? Because obviously he won a national championship with LSU. But still, like, look at how they treat their coaches that win national championships. Oh, you have, like, one losing season? You're fired. Like, they have such a short leash, even for the guys that win national championships. So I just don't think it's worth it. And I would be very, very shocked if Nick Saban returns to college football. All right, coming up after the break, hour two starts off with some of the questions we have about the injury information process in the NBA. We're all suspicious of the NBA. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.